From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, two Texas congressmen, both Democrats, but with very different views on how to deal with the Central American children on the border. And a year after tough abortion restrictions are put into law, how has limited access impacted women's reproductive health in Texas? This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The latest reports from the Texas-Mexico border show a reduction in the number of children fleeing Central American poverty and violence and being apprehended at the border. Nevertheless, it's expected that about 90,000 children will make that trip this year and end up in U.S. custody and in the overwhelmed federal immigration court system. On Monday, Governor Rick Perry announced that he is deploying up to 1,000 Texas National Guard troops to the border, although it's not clear what role, responsibility, or authority the Guard will have there. And in Washington, D.C., it's hoped that Congress will put aside partisan bickering and political opportunism to find additional funding and an elusive immigration solution for the children. But that hope is fading fast since there's less than a week left before Congress goes on summer break. If a solution is cobbled together, bipartisanship will have to play a role, which is troubling since even the Texas Democrats in Congress can't agree on a solution. However, Laredo Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar is earning salutes from Republicans for his efforts to speed up the deportation of the immigration refugee children.
We certainly cannot have failure as an option. We do have a short period of time next week. We cannot leave Washington without coming up with resources and making a change to the law. And again, I'm ready to negotiate with the folks that have been saying no, 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 no. So the option is to help those young kids that are coming in, provide them the care, give them a hearing before a judge so they would have to be returned, give the money to ICE and other agents, Border Patrol, so they can do their job securing the border. The American public doesn't want chaos at the border. They want an orderly border. And the other thing is I just finished having a meeting with the president of Honduras on a one-to-one. We talked about how we can work with those countries, Central American countries, so they can improve their economies, bring down the violence, and certainly the U.S. has to be a partner with countries like Honduras.
There have been a lot of criticism of the Humane Act. People say that is not exactly what it is. The Humane stands for helping unaccompanied minors and alleviating national emergency. Some people say the name should be inappropriately named, helping unaccompanied minors and alleviating national emergency, the Inhumane Act, because they say this is going to be sending kids back to violent prone countries.
Well, again, if somebody has a better suggestion, if they want to propose something, if they want to come up with some ideas instead of saying no and just standing in the way, then have them propose it. The important thing is under the law, under the proposal, we make an amendment where all the protections, due process, legal protections, everything stays the same, except instead of waiting 3 to 5 years to have a hearing, we're moving that up where they can have a quicker hearing in front of a judge. They have a right to have an attorney. They have all the legal protections. And therefore, they're given an opportunity with an attorney so a judge can make the decision. On a one-to-one basis, case-by-case basis, the judge is going to make that decision. And then at that time, the judge will make a decision whether that child under the circumstances goes back or gets to stay here. But an expert, a judge, will make that decision. I just finished meeting with the president of Honduras, and you know, two weeks ago, I was in Central America, in Guatemala also. And again, they're willing to work with us. They're willing to take their kids back. So if those countries are asking for their kids back, who are we to say that we know better than those individual countries where those kids are coming back? Do we need to improve the situation in those countries? Yes. But we cannot stand-in between ourselves and those countries that want their kids back.
For Honduras, for example, and I just got back from Honduras, in San Pedro Sula, which is the most violent city in the most violent nation, which is Honduras, that's where these children are returned to. They're flown back to that deportation facility. And there is no governmental agency in Honduras that acts as a repatriation post. It's just a volunteer nun who tries to help these kids. And there are gangs that are right there outside the gate waiting for these children to be released to pick them up. You're basically sending them right back into the arms of danger and high probability of death and sexual exploitation.
Well, we certainly want to work with those countries, and that's why part of the funding is to work with those countries. But taking your circumstance, and it's a very, 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 very hard situation, the way you describe that. But, you know, just like the president told the Hispanic caucus the other day, you know, there's a lot of bad things that happen across the world. All of those kids are equal under my eyes, under the gods of the eyes of God. But as a president, or in my case, as a member of Congress, we have a responsibility to control our borders, and therefore we have to follow what the law is. There is no refugee designation. There is a asylum. There is a legal protection, or should I say credible fear, or a victim of human trafficking. That is what the law calls for right now. And unless if we change the immigration reform, we have an immigration reform, we have to follow the law. That is what the law is. This issue is not easy, but even the president acknowledged to his Hispanic caucus, quote, I cannot go there, which is declaring everybody as a refugee, because then instead of 58,000, we would have 250,000, half a million kids coming into the U.S.
Now, it is possible to provide TPS, temporary protected status, which is something that Congress has given before to Honduras and El Salvador after natural disasters have hit the country. It's the same status that we provide people from Syria and Somalia, and allows them to have refugee status. Is that something that's being considered?
Well, again, the president himself, that can, you know, he can send a big message on this. Just told the Hispanic caucus last week when they asked him about refugee status, he said, quote, I cannot go there, end quote, President Barack Obama, President of the United States of America.
So you've taken a lot of criticism standing with Senator John Cornyn trying to launch the Humane Act. A lot of people have accused you of getting too cozy with the Republican Party on this.
The American public is tired of divided government. The American public is frustrated with the paralysis that we have up here in Washington, D.C. The American public doesn't want to see a chaos at the border. I mean, that's what they're seeing, chaos at the border. They want to see an orderly border. They want to see solutions to come up. And therefore, I will work with Democrats. I will work with Republicans to get the job done. If, just like President John F. Kennedy said many years ago when he was facing a crisis, he said, I'm not looking for a Republican idea. I'm not looking for a Democratic answer. I'm looking for the right thing to do. And if that means working with Democrats or Republicans as Texans, I personally will continue working in a bipartisan way.
Well, it's interesting that you're involved in that dialogue with Senator Cornyn. And Senator Cornyn, he's led the opposition many times for immigration reform, and he's voted repeatedly against the DREAM Act. So any chance that this is going to be a two-way reaching across the aisle, maybe you're going to convince him to be more flexible on his end?
I support immigration reform. I've always supported immigration reform. Cornyn will have to decide what he wants to do when it comes up to this. I hope that this will be a step forward, how we can work together, and certainly I will give him my input saying that he needs to support immigration reform. The issue before us is not immigration reform. The issue before us is an amendment to a Human Trafficking Act of 2008, and we are in agreement as to how we address this issue.
Congressman Henry Cuellar is a Democrat and represents the border district that covers San Antonio, Laredo, and parts of the Rio Grande Valley. He, along with Republican Senator John Cornyn, have authored the Humane Act, which would speed up the deportation of the children of Central America. Cuellar's Humane Act is not winning much support from his fellow Democrats. Congressman Lloyd Doggett, who represents San Antonio and Austin, is critical of the proposals, and he says legal protections for the children should not be rolled back.
Well, I want to see that these children are treated with some humanity instead of the fear-mongering that's gone on. But I feel the Humane Act is misnamed. It really should be called the Gone Act, Get Out Now Everyone, which is what I believe it does. And I don't believe that it enjoys very much Democratic support. I think most of us recognize that there is a need for additional resources at the border to help move a clogged immigration system, but that we need to protect the rights of these children that we put into place in existing law. Go after the smugglers, but don't blame the kids.
What do you think is the reason why we're seeing these numbers of children coming up from Central America?
I think they're subject to violence and abuse, sex trafficking in the area. Some of them have parents who are here in the United States and are simply trying to reunite from their parents. I believe we wouldn't have this problem if we'd had comprehensive immigration reform in the bipartisan fashion that it was approved in the Senate over the objection, unfortunately, of both our senators over a year ago. I think whatever the specific cause of them being here, it does not demonstrate that we have an insecure border. These children have been coming across the Rio Grande and immediately turning themselves in seeking refuge. We have a law in place to respect their rights, to see that they're fairly evaluated, to assure they're not involved in being trafficked or abused, and that if they have a legitimate asylum claim, that claim is honored, rather than to give them some snap judgment and rush them through the system and turn them right back from whence they came.
The argument is that if the United States does not quickly deport these children, that the word will get out through Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, that the children are allowed to stay, and that we'll just see more and more children come up.
Well, I'm for acting expeditiously, but when you listen to the stories of these children, to return all of them, those who have been subject to abuse, to trafficking, is to return many of them to their death and to conditions that are deplorable. I'm not prepared to say how many of those children have a legitimate asylum claim or have been subject to trafficking. That's why we have the current law. It's to protect them and assure that their rights and their claims are fairly evaluated. The alternative of setting these arbitrary deadlines that cannot be met with the existing system or a slight bump in additional resources, and which would perhaps have these children interviewed by a law enforcement officer in a room full of people that might well include some of those who've been aiding and abetting the smugglers or have been involved in trafficking in them in the chaos of some kind of border patrol station. That's just not a reasonable substitute for the safeguards that we have for vulnerable children in our existing law. So I say enforce the law, go after the smugglers, and protect the rights of the children.
Now, the clock is ticking on Congress. In about a week, Congress will be let out. Will anything get passed Congress in these days, remaining days?
I believe there will be some action in the coming week. The Department of Homeland Security has said it's about to run out of money in August. The president has requested additional resources. The best way to deal with this influx is to have the resources on the border to process these children properly and see that their claims are fairly considered, to expedite that process, but not to deny their rights. So I expect action next week. The problem is that some of our Republican colleagues are trying to outdo one another in the most anti-immigrant position. And so we have some who want to repeal the protections of existing law. We have Ted Cruz even saying he wants to put a stop to the DREAM Act, which has been so important to students at San Antonio College and Palo Alto, St. Phillips, and all of our institutions within the San Antonio area would be such a step backward. I think it's important that we stand firmly in favor of funding the necessary resources to the border and the immigration system, but don't go in with some last-minute changes in the law that are not well thought out and reverse the rights of these children.
Now, Governor Rick Perry has sent Texas National Guardsmen to the border. He says it will be a move to try to secure the border. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think when Governor Perry looks north, he looks north to Iowa and the Iowa caucuses. I view this as just asking Texas taxpayers once again to pay for his very grandiose political ambitions. Some of it may well be that his feelings are hurt that Ted Cruz has been getting so much attention across the country and that only with something that is really unnecessary overreach can he get the attention, and it's worked to some extent from that standpoint. Let's think about what these National Guard members have been through. Many of them have been pulled away from their jobs and their families in the past to protect our country. I know they're ready to answer the call if there is reason to do so, but the Guard members who've been on the border in the past have done things like check people in. One of the leaders of our Guard in Texas indicated that they would be a referral service for any of the children. They don't have the power to arrest them. Governor Perry wants to present the concept that they're out there to be boots on the ground, but they're really just pencils at the desk and maybe a wrench in the garage to support the Border Patrol. And it's a very expensive way to handle this problem. So I think it's a big mistake. It's all about politics and not about really trying to secure our border.
The expense is an estimated $17 million per month for these guardsmen on the border. This is something that Texas will have to pick up unless we hear different from Washington, D.C. Perry's hoping that Washington, D.C. will pick up the tab. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I'm certainly not in favor of granting amnesty to Governor Perry. He has a history of taking federal money and using it in a way not consistent with its purpose. And I think that these funds should be taken out of his personal office budget or maybe even out of his campaign funds, since that's really what it's all about.
Congressman Lloyd Doggett is a Democrat and represents San Antonio and Austin. He says the legal protection of these Central American children on the border should remain in place. Just over a year ago, the Texas legislature, in a second special session, passed a slate of abortion restrictions. Governor Perry signed them into law on July 18, 2013. These measures include a ban on abortion at 20 weeks post-fertilization and recognizes that the state has a compelling interest to protect fetuses from pain. Doctors who perform abortions must have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital, and there are new restrictions for women taking the abortion-inducing drug, such as RU486. Also, abortion clinics are required to meet the same standards as other surgical health care facilities, but that part of the law goes into effect on September the 1st. A study released this week from the Texas Policy Evaluation Project looked at how these new restrictions are impacting access to abortion in the state. It found a 13% decline in abortion in Texas since that law's implementation. The lead author of the study is Dr. Daniel Grossman.
We know that, you know, over this time period, quite a few of the clinics have closed in Texas. In April of 2013, there were 41 clinics or facilities providing abortion. That went down to 22 during the period we were studying up through April of this year. It's down to 20 now, and it's going to go down even further when the final provision that requires all facilities to meet the standards of ambulatory surgical centers goes into place. There's currently only six ambulatory surgical centers providing abortion services. And we found that the abortion rate in the first 6 months after these provisions of HB2 went into effect in November of last year, that the abortion rate went down 13% overall across the state. And that's a steeper decline than has been seen in Texas in recent years. And I think that really most likely relates to the difficulties that women are facing accessing abortion services, especially for women outside of the major metropolitan centers in the state. So outside of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, Houston, and San Antonio, outside of the big cities is where most of the closures have taken place. And so now women have to travel farther, you know, get more time off from work. There are more costs associated with it. So I think most likely that's the reason for the decline that we saw.
How did you get this 13% decline number?
So we collected statistics from all the facilities in Texas. We there are 41 facilities that I mentioned. We were able to collect data from and receive information, complete data from 36 of those 41. We got partial data for an additional couple facilities. So we had to make some estimates for the remainders. And then we compared the abortion numbers essentially during the period November 2012 through April 2013, compared that to the same period a year later, essentially, and looked at that difference and divided it by what the number was in the earlier period. And that's when we talk about this decline, we're talking about just looking at for the six-month period 1 year later.
Are we also looking at the number of live births in Texas? Could this number be attributed to just fewer pregnancies in the state?
That's a good question. We were aiming to do a rapid analysis to understand what's happening with this law. You know, the state is moving forward with these different provisions of HB2. The first three provisions already went into effect. The ASC requirement is about to go into effect. And we were aiming to try to get some data in between before this next piece of it goes into effect and really shuts down such a large number of clinics. But you're certainly right that there are a lot of unanswered questions still, and this is only beginning to give us a paint a picture about what's going on. You know, certainly one question is about what's happening with births and what's happening particularly with unintended births. There are some preliminary data from the Centers for Disease Control that shows that it indicates that there has been an increase in births in Texas for 2013, but those numbers are not yet final. So it will be very interesting to see when those numbers are final from the state to see what's happening. And then further down the road, there's going to be a statewide survey that will give us some idea about unintended births, and it will be particularly interesting to know what's happening with that. I think, you know, certainly another reason why the abortion rate could be going down is due to improved use of family planning, and that has been talked about as one of the reasons and for the decline nationally. But there are a lot of reasons to think that isn't what's happening in Texas. You know, the legislature cut funding for family planning in 2011 that resulted in closure of quite a few clinics that were providing contraceptive services to low-income women.
Dr. Daniel Grossman is the lead author of a study that finds that the Texas state abortion rate fell 13% since the implementation of a new state law that restricts access to abortion. Organizations like the Texas Alliance for Life lobbied hard for those abortion restrictions and celebrated the law's passage. Joe Pohman is the executive director of the Texas Alliance for Life.
We don't have a great deal of confidence in the reliability of the decrease in the abortion rate as claimed in that study. From our understanding, the data were acquired by voluntary participation by the abortion providers. Unlike the data used in the annual reports released by the Texas Department of State Health Services, and those were obtained by reporting of the providers to the state as required by state law. That gives us a much higher degree of confidence. So it may be the case that report is correct, but we just don't have a tremendous amount of confidence in that particular number.
So what do you think the abortion rate in Texas is? Do you think it has dropped?
Well, we do know that the state just released within the last month the numbers of abortions for 2012, and that showed approximately 6,000 fewer abortions performed in Texas compared to the previous year, 2011. And that, of course, is prior to House Bill 2 going into effect. We are seeing a drop in abortions, and in the case of 2012 compared to 2011, that may have been due in part to the sonogram law, which for the first time required that the physician who was going to do the abortion had to meet with the woman at least 24 hours before the abortion and do a sonogram and allow her to see the image of the unborn child and hear the baby's heartbeat, again, at least 24 hours before the abortion. And we think that because of that law, some women are choosing to not have abortions because they're deciding that abortion is not their best interest. That law continues to be in effect, and that may be decreasing abortions in Texas to this day.
Right. So the effect of that law would require women to take an additional day off of work or do an additional day of travel, something to have to factor in that as they'd consider the procedure. So that is may account for the drop.
Well, yeah, and that law raised the standard of care for providing abortions, at least regarding informed consent, to the level of that anyone would expect for a comparable medical or surgical procedure in Texas.
Okay, but if these numbers do hold, does that satisfy you? Do you feel like the legislation that y'all supported is achieving the goals that you wanted? You wanted to see fewer abortions in Texas, right?
Well, fewer abortions in Texas is certainly consistent with the mission of Texas Alliance for Life because we want to protect innocent human life from conception through natural death. But that was not our goal in lobbying and supporting House Bill 2, and I don't believe that was the goal of the legislators and the governor who voted for House Bill 2 and, of course, Governor Perry who signed it into law. The goal of House Bill 2 was to assure that abortions and they're done on the order of tens of thousands every year in Texas, are done in a manner that does not endanger the health and safety of women who are undergoing those abortions. And to the extent that abortion doctors who do not have privileges are no longer performing abortions, we think that is consistent with the intent of the law because those physicians are doing it in a way which is, in our view, unduly endangering the risk. In our view, that's unduly endangering the health and safety of those women who are having abortions.
Now, to that point about the health and safety of those women, we're seeing reports coming from the Rio Grande Valley of increases in the number of troubled miscarriages. And although there's not a lot of clear statistics kept on this rate and the issue, it's mostly anecdotal, but people are saying this is being caused by people who are self-inducing miscarriages because they can't get to an abortion provider.
The only data that we have, and not exactly data, was that article that was done, and I forget the news outlet, from McAllen, Texas, in which it was reported that in the summer of 2013, the sheriff of Hidalgo County basically shut down the selling of illegal abortion drugs at the local flea markets in Hidalgo County. And that's the only serious study that I've seen about abortions that are being done in Hidalgo County outside of licensed abortion facilities.
Joe Pohlman is the executive director for the Texas Alliance for Life. He's reacting to a report that finds the abortion rate fell in Texas 13% since the implementation of a law that restricts abortion access in the state. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org, or you can write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's also where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.